we're not trying to be fake meat. You know, where Beyond Meat and Impossible are trying to replicate that experience. That's not mm-hmm. something we're trying to do per se.
Green Hero. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Green Hero Podcast. This is Ricard, founder of Green Hero, your go-to source for making plant-based eating easy and enjoyable. Each week, we'll be digging into the inspiring journeys of people who live a plant-based lifestyle to tease out the most effective and fun ways to add more plants to your life.
Green Hero. Green Hero. Green Hero.
Today's guest is chef and founder of Long Island-based The Complete Burger, Jessica Tacone. Lucky enough to call the Hamptons her home, she's carved out the niche doing what she loves. As a private chef, Jess has built a clientele including names like Madonna, Gwyneth Paltrow, and George Stephanopoulos that enjoy her simple and creative dishes, which showcases the summer bounty she feels blessed to have access to. Although not a vegan and more a self-proclaimed reducitarian, less meat, more plants, Jess has developed a locally produced vegan and gluten-free burger called The Complete Burger, and it has taken the East End by storm. She's also the lead baker managing the kitchen and staff for local nonprofit South Fork Bakery, whose mission it is to provide meaningful paid employment to special needs residents in her local Long Island community. Jess, welcome, and thank you for joining us on our podcast. How's everything going?
Excellent. Thank you for having me. Excited to be a part.
All right. I'm really excited for this episode and to speak to somebody who is doing something that I don't know many people know exist, and that is locally, organically produced plant-based products. We hear a lot about big brands like Beyond Meat, Oatly, and similar, but the smaller brands like yours, The Complete Burger, we don't really hear about. I find that funny because locally produced meat and cheese sold at farmers market, people talk a lot about, but not about the plant-based equivalent. So how did this journey start for you?
It's a very interesting story. I was working on an organic mushroom farm in Bridgehampton, New York. It's called Open Minded Organics. Good friends of mine own it. And I was with them 5 years. And they are most notably known for growing mushrooms. And we had a bumper crop of shiitake mushrooms one season. And we were trying to scramble and figure out what we could make out of those mushrooms, because there was no way we were going to be able to just sell them, you know, as is, as fast as, you know, the shelf life. Mm-hmm. So I developed this burger recipe, and it was kind of touch and go. I mean, it was a great recipe then. It's evolved a little bit since, but it drummed up a little bit of a cult following out here in the Hamptons, and people really warm to it because it was really the only option aside from, you know, these new products that were coming out at the time, Beyond Meat, Impossible Burger, and that sort of thing. I mean, you had the old standbys, Dr. Prager's and whatnot, but to be able to get something locally made, people were really loving that. And we sold it at the farm stand exclusively in Bridgehampton, and it did really well. When I left the farm, it was my recipe, so I took it with me, not thinking it was going to be anything more than just a really great recipe to have in my repertoire as a chef. And I opened a pop-up, of all things, pop-up ramen shop. It's actually called Sai Min. It's Hawaiian ramen with mm-hmm. a partner of mine who is my business partner in The Complete Burger as well. And she insisted we put it on the menu. She was vegetarian for a really long time. It was more self-serving than anything. She loved it, and I hadn't made it in a long time. And it was our best seller.
Wow. And this pop-up, is this going on right now, or this was a few years back that you did the pop-up?
This was 4 years ago. So that was kind of when we were looking at doing some other things. We were creatively trying to think outside the box. My business partner is Hawaiian. She has Hawaiian roots, and she had made me a bowl of Sai Min one night, and I was like, nobody does this. We should do mm-hmm. this. And she's like, do you think we can? So we did the pop-up. But we wanted to offer some other things as well. Not everybody always wants a bowl of ramen. So we put the burger on the menu. And like I said, it was just a no-brainer, so to speak, as far as a segue, because the restaurant industry is tough.
Yeah.
Not to say that wholesale retail is any easier, but we thought we really found a great product. And you know, we were really welcomed by the community with it. So we ran with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how was the step? Like, you started at the mushroom farm and kind of developed this recipe to the pop-up. And I assume as well, like, just working at a restaurant, and I mean, this is my experience going to restaurants, they kind of make their own patty there. So how is the step from like making something in a restaurant that you can maybe control in-house to kind of create a product as well and start selling that?
Well, I mean, that's where we kind of started, you know, when I was doing the burger on the farm. So developing, okay, trying to figure out packaging, that was probably the hardest part aside from developing the recipe, which did get changed a little bit, you know, over time. Nothing drastic, pretty much all the same ingredients. One ingredient we did take out, which I find really interesting. Some people actually notice it missing and then others don't notice it at all. But we did have cayenne pepper in there, not to make it spicy, but just kind of as a back note, just another spice in our blend. But we had some people that had commented, they're like, what's that heat? What's that spice? So I didn't want anything to be so noticeable as far as a flavor profile coming from spices. You know, I wanted the shiitakes to be your umami. I wanted, you know, the other ingredients to speak for themselves. It wasn't about flavoring the product, so to speak. It didn't really need that. It doesn't warrant that. But yeah, so we've tweaked that. Our packaging developed over time as well. So packaging at the farm stand, very bare bones, basic. It was just, you know, the plastic bag holding the patties, you know, twist tie on top and slap the label on the front because, you know, farm budget. And then when we were thinking about what it meant to put it on a shelf as a retail product, you know, that took a lot more time and thought.
Yeah, I see that. And how is that, like, how's the feedback been from the community out there? Because you sell at farmers markets and in some retail locations as well, maybe?
We do. We kind of got our start. One of the local retailers out here called Cromer's Market. It's a fantastic small grocery. It's known for its butcher shop and deli component as well. But I was always friendly with them. I've known them for years. I asked them to let us do an in-store demo and to carry our products. They were our first supporters in that world. And it was really well received. And, you know, it was funny. They had us set up our product and, you know, plant-based, vegan, gluten-free. And we were right in front of the butcher counter. I was like, no pressure. Everyone's coming in to buy your steaks, but here, try my burger.
Yeah. You're like stealing their customers. And how are people, and when people try this, have they normally tried something like Beyond Meat or Impossible Burger or something like that? And like, what do they think the difference is between these products?
I have that conversation so often. We're not trying to be fake meat, you know. Where Beyond Meat and Impossible are trying to replicate that experience. That's not something we're trying to do per se. That being said, I do eat meat. I am, you know, I would like to say reducetarian. I'm kind of the 80-20 rule, 80% vegetables, 20% everything else. But when I developed the recipe, I had that in mind. You know, I still want to eat a burger that's going to be satisfying to me as a meat eater. Because for somebody who is still a meat eater to make that choice between having a beef burger or having a vegetarian or vegan burger, you know, sometimes that's a tough sell. So I wanted my product to kind of stand out from that, you know, and I always present it in a way that, you know, I don't want people to think I'm trying to replicate meat because it very clearly does not do that. But it's a satisfying option, I feel, because of the mushroom base, because it still gives you that texture and that mouthfeel. And it has kind of that savoriness to it that I feel you also get from a beef burger. But in the name itself, I mean, it's the complete burger because it is also a complete protein.
I see. So what is it in the burger that makes it a complete protein?
So with the addition of red quinoa and the lentils, and actually mushrooms also do have trace amounts of protein as well, just naturally that occur in shiitake, but the high amount of protein comes from the red quinoa. And it was important, you know, to cover all of those bases because that's another issue with a lot of people who decide to become vegetarian or vegan and maybe don't know a lot of they don't have a lot of nutritional backgrounds. They're not sure where they're going to get that protein from.
Yeah.
If they're not eating meat. But there are so many plant-based options. There's no reason why you should ever feel like you can't, you know, fill that box.
Yeah. And the people, when you talk to them at the farm stand, then, like, when they try this, like, what do they tell you afterwards? They're like, this is like very different, like this kind of organic local burger compared to this kind, maybe sometimes a little bit what people are saying, like produced products. Is that something what people call out, or is it like flavor, or what is it that people say?
Probably. I mean, I get so many different comments. It's hard to even just call out one. I think my best reaction, my truest reaction, is when I have kids try it. Mm. Because if a kid tries it and loves it, I know I did something right, because they'll tell you right out of the gate. They don't have any filter. They're not going to try to make you feel better about your product. They're just going to say it how it is. And I've definitely experienced that, where I probably, out of 100 kids that have tried it, maybe had 2 that didn't like it, which is a surprisingly odd number. I really thought it would be the reverse of that. And I think that they just enjoy the fact that it just tastes good. I mean, honestly, it doesn't taste like a lot of the store-bought, mass-produced veggie burgers out there that contain fillers, that contain a lot of strange products in them or ingredients in them that give it a weird texture or make it dry or make it, you know, not palatable. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things. I struggled with that in developing the recipe, was I wanted to make sure that when you cooked it, the patty didn't dry out. It still had, you know, that, for lack of a better term, juiciness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was appealing that way. I mean, there's nothing worse than biting into a hockey puck. I mean, not that I've ever done that, but yeah, what I imagine it would be.
I hear you on that. So I'm curious to hear as well, like, the plant-based space out on Long Island, is it that it's a lot of people from New York City that are like used to plant-based eating? Are you seeing this kind of trend like across the country as well, like at farmers market, that there are like these locally grown plant-based products coming about as well?
So also a little backstory, but I am a private chef out here as well. And I've seen kind of that trend where people have really been changing their diet and are definitely segueing into a more plant-based diet. They want that fresh, local, you know, locally grown, in season, organic if possible, or naturally grown, you know, vegetable on their plate, and not just as a side. You know, they want to showcase it.
Mm-hmm.
It's come more to the forefront. And it's been interesting, you know, to watch my clients evolve. You know, when I started this journey in the culinary world, I can't tell you how many steaks and lobster bakes I did in the summer, because yeah, that's all anybody ever wanted. And now it's like, well, what's in season? Can we do a salad? Can you get strawberries? Can you grill up a bunch of greens? Can we do, you know, all grilled mixed vegetables? And, you know, we always have to have a plant-based option or a vegetarian option. You know, at first it was for 1 or 2 guests. Now it's probably for half their guests.
Mm.
I have clients now that's, they only eat plant-based. I never had that 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
So now it's becoming more of the norm, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's definitely a trend that we see here, like where we located in New York City as well. And are you in touch with other producers like yourself across the country that do something similar with plant-based?
So I have made some connections over the years. There are a couple of companies out there that are doing some great things. Some are in the beginning stages and still trying to work out their kinks, so I won't mention those, but I don't want to throw them under the bus. But we do have actually a lot of local people that are just, you know, focusing on that, whether they're, you know, farmers out here that have realized that, you know, that's really a focus that can not only benefit them, but it's benefiting, you know, the health of our community. Actually, and funny story, so I bake with South Fork Bakery as well, which is for kids with developmental disabilities to find gainful employment. And as I segued into a more managerial role, I was originally the lead baker, but the girl that I brought in to take over my lead baking role is a vegan chef, a vegan mm-hmm. baker by trade. And she has a company that she's just launched, and she's starting out in the farmers markets, which I think is a great venue. Mm-hmm. And her company is called The Savory Fig, and she is phenomenal. So the day we met was at a farmer's market, and I tried her products, and I was blown away. I was like, there's no way this is vegan. There's no way this is gluten-free, because she does both. I couldn't believe it. And that's coming from someone who's developed a recipe that's vegan, gluten-free, and is delicious. But I was just, my mind was blown.
Wow.
And so to have her on our team is just, she's exceptional. And she makes a vegan, gluten-free Twinkie. Now, I don't know if you ever had a Twinkie growing up as a kid. I don't know if that was ever a thing for you.
No, I did. But I actually did not. But please tell me what it is.
Okay. So it's like a yellow sponge cake, and it has a cream filling. And it's basically, it's pure sugar and lots of preservatives. Like, they've done studies where, you know, they put it on a shelf under a glass top or whatever, and it can sit there for 50 years and you can eat it and you would never know it was old. It's frightening. Bad, scary food. It's like in the list of scary foods, do not eat, blah, blah, blah. But I grew up, I had those as a kid, loved them. And to have somebody be able to replicate it, vegan and gluten-free, and taste exponentially better than I ever remember a Twinkie tasting, but still gave me that feeling and nostalgia from being a kid. I mean, if people are going to continue on this trends in plant-based foods and gluten-free foods, then I don't know, the future's looking pretty bright. Because if you told me this 10 years ago, I don't know if I would have believed you.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds awesome. And are you also now selling this Twinkie for South Fork Bakery? Or is she going to develop some other recipes that are vegan?
She's going to develop some new recipes for us. We're very excited to kind of go down that path with her and be able to bring some more, you know, non-traditional, but hopefully soon will be traditional products that are healthier options, and not just healthier, but super tasty and delicious. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll have to keep you posted.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds cool. And how is it that, because, you know, old brands grow and their kind of production grows. So how are you able to like make the company bigger at the same time, keep the authenticity of the product that you are creating?
So scaling any business is a daunting task. And definitely not for the faint of heart. One of our biggest things, kind of our philanthropy, is we don't want to manufacture our product in one location and ship nationally, or who knows, one day internationally. But I don't feel like you can really get the same feel from a product once you scale it to that size.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line, it's not going to be the same. So our hope is that we can grow into every major city in the U.S. We will have a production facility in every major city in the U.S. that will hire local, purchasing all of our ingredients as locally as possible, because right now we basically try to keep it within the tri-state area where all of our products come from for our ingredients, and be able to develop community based surrounding each of those locations, because that's really what kind of was the founding, you know, part of this business, was having that community feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, because then you can have those conversations. You can talk to people about their concerns or their questions about eating more plant-based, or, you know, are they going to get the same nutrition that they would if they went and had a burger, you know, a regular beef burger, or, you know, when you're just shipping a product from home base, let's say I built a facility in the Hamptons. Hilarious, wouldn't happen. But if I did, and then I shipped to, say, Texas, who am I talking to? How am I going to tell those people, you need to try this product, and have them take me at face value without ever meeting me and just seeing an advertisement or whatever, some sort of marketing material? I just don't feel like it has that hometown feel. It doesn't have that connection to community. And I think that you're missing something there. There's a disconnect. Yeah.
And are you then thinking, it's just like occurring to me as we speak, that almost like to be able to connect on a local level, it's almost like you would call it the complete burger, Texas or Dallas or whatever it would be. And when they source their products from there, maybe even it has like a slight variation to the recipe that you're creating, in the sense of like it has its local flavor in each place where it's produced as well, to kind of give it like some kind of extra feel of that community as well.
Sure, that would be amazing. I'd probably have to figure out how to clone myself so I could be in all of those cities to try all of their food so I could find the right flavor. No, I think, you know what? You're only as strong as the people that work with you and your team. So in order to develop a strong team, if I had, obviously there's going to have to be somebody in each location that on some level has culinary experience. And if they wanted to bring to the table their local flair and put it in my burger with, you know, my burger base, I would be all about it. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good. And like, how are you seeing like just the evolution of plant-based eating? Like, since you started, now you were mentioning as a chef that you kind of more and more people are asking for plant-based food. But like, how are you think is the way to kind of help people with this transition? Is it just to like put more products out for them, or is there anything in particular that you've seen effective or that you think would be interesting to try out?
I think it's a mix of things. You know, education is so important. I feel like a lot of the people that I have in my personal life, their kids are vegetarians. You know, they're learning at a young age why they should eat more plant-based, you know, not just for the health connotation, but humane reasons. There's so many reasons to eat in that style. And I think it's important too, though, I never want to preach to somebody. I never want to make somebody feel bad because they eat meat, or, you know, their opinion doesn't count, or that I'm better than them, because none of those things are true. It's all about the person and their personal, you know, experience and what they want to do in their life. And, you know, we have a lot of things happening in this world where, you know, we're being told what to do. No one likes to be told what to do.
Yeah.
But if you can educate and just give people information and do the best you can to keep it neutral, and I mean, you're just laying out the evidence and then people can decide for themselves. That's why I've chosen to eat less meat, you know, multiple reasons, health, humanity, all the different reasons. Not because somebody, you know, paraded me into it, because I was educated, because I read a lot about it, because I was lucky enough to go back and get a college degree at 30 something years old in environmental studies with a focus on food and agriculture that kind of changed my world and the way that I look at how food is produced and how it affects our environment and how whatever your end product you're getting, there were so many other factors that went into that end product. So you see what it takes to raise a cow, but you could grow spinach or you could grow another vegetable and it has so many redeeming qualities. You know, you can get so much more from that if you do it properly.
Yeah, I hear you. And you feel then that you kind of have to support like a wider spectrum for people as well, of like how long a transition have to take as well, that not just tell people you have to change now and just say like, hey, it's fine if this transition takes 2 weeks for you, but 3 years for you, right?
It's not a one size fits all. You know, everybody's different. You know, it's like breaking a bad habit. Somebody could do a cold turkey, but then another person, it might take them a year or longer, whatever works and whatever it makes them feel comfortable, but allows them to grow as a person into, you know, what suits them. I think it's, you know, you have to give space for that.
Yeah, I see. And just switching gears a little bit, who impresses you at the moment in the plant-based space? Is there like a particular organization, brand, or person that you think people should check out, especially with like your kind of focus on more locally produced plant-based products as well?
Well, I'll go right to, you know, some of my competitors. I mean, I'm a locally based brand, so I don't know necessarily that everybody would consider my competitors Beyond Meat or Impossible Burger or Dr. Prager's, but I do, because I compare myself to their products on a daily basis. And I have a running spreadsheet of all the different variations of vegan, vegetarian burgers that are out there that check all the boxes that mine do, but then they also check a lot of boxes that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one I have to tell you in all of my research that is right up there with me is Amy's Organic, and they're crushing it. there's no fillers, there's no ingredients you can't pronounce. You could, if you had their recipe, make it at home. You can't do that with any of my other competitors or any other brand that's on the market that I've found yet. Mm-hmm. So I give them a lot of credit, and they've been on the market for a really long time, and they have the staying power. So I can only aspire.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. And just to close out, then, people who want to stay connected with you, like, where can people find you online? Website, Twitter, or Instagram?
Sure. You can find us on our website. It is www.thecompleteburger.com. And remember, it's The Complete Burger, not Complete Burger. You can also find us on Instagram. We do have two handles, which is quite confusing, but I was told by somebody that I should take both just in case someone wants to steal it, steal the name. This was before we were trademarked, but so we have at The Complete Burger and at Complete Burger. So whichever one you want to pick, dealer's choice.
Okay. And for people who are in the New York area and go out on Long Island, or people who are traveling into the US to New York and then say, like, hey, we want to go out on Long Island and see how beautiful it is out there, like, where can they find you there?
Sure. So obviously you can go on our website, and we have a complete list with the addresses and phone numbers of all of our retailers and restaurants. But you can find us, of course, at Cromer's Market, which was our first, and we hold them very dear to us. They gave us a shot. We are at Balsam Farms and Balsam Market, Balsam Farms in East Hampton and Balsam Market in Montauk. We can also be found at IGA in Sag Harbor, Scavone's IGA. We are also on the menu at Montauk Circle in Montauk, fabulous restaurant right in the circle. We are also on the menu at Cove Hollow in East Hampton. And you can also find us on Shelter Island in the Farmers Market at Vine Street Cafe. They are only open in the summer, though. All the other locations are year-round. Oh, and also Eastport General Store, which got us to the other side of the canal, so to speak, as we like to say out here, up island.
Yeah.
And Rising Tide Market in Glen Cove, which is one of our newest retailers. And they are phenomenal. They cannot keep us on the shelf.
Wow. You have created like a little like Long Island empire out there. That was a lot of locations. That's awesome. Well, Jess, thank you so much for your time. It has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and hear about the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. I was really excited to be a part.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Be well.
That was our episode for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Green Hero Podcast was produced by Andrew Rojek, and I'm your host, Ricard Bjerkdal. I'll see you next week for another conversation from our colorful plant-based world. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with a friend. If you haven't already, you can also find Green Hero in the App Store. Download our app and start enjoying a plant-based lifestyle today. You can also find us on the web at the URL greenhero.life and on Twitter and Instagram, where we operate under the handle Green Hero Life. All right, see you next week. Bye-bye.